What's up, everybody? I'm Tahir Moore, and welcome back to another episode of Damn, Internet, You Scary. Shout out to the Scary Squad pulling up in the building. Shout out to y'all watching it on Thursday, man. We got a pretty fun, interesting, and amazing show, and I'm explaining all of that fun because of the guests. Interesting because Pat is not here, and they trusted me to do all the talking for the ads and the stories. We're going to see how that goes. Amazing because of the guests and the work that they're doing as well. Ladies and gentlemen, no stranger to the show. He is a slam poet. Bet you didn't know it, but he is. A rapper as well and an amazing actor and entertainer. We got Mr. Malcolm Barrett back on the show. And one of the amazing pieces of entertainment that he's on right now is a fantastic show called Average Joe. You can catch it out on BET Plus, and you can also catch it out on Netflix right now. And we're going to be talking about it. One of the guest stars on the show is also a guest on our show today. Ladies and gentlemen, he's a voice actor. He's an actor. Please welcome to the show the man you don't want to see in your front room, Mr. Michael Vedovich.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Michael, when I saw your character and then I learned how to say your last name correctly, I was like, oh, well, that's just perfect. That was perfect casting right there. That was just right on point. But I found out that you're actually Polish.
Yeah, I'm Polish. I'm not Russian. I learned Russian for the role, I guess.
Yeah. So,
I got typecast as Eastern European, but that's fine with me. I'm happy to get the work.
Hey, you know? Listen, I'll take that check. I'll take that good old check right there.
I'm always happy to be a part of any project.
Hell yeah, man. You got some great co-stars on there, man. Great script, great storyline. Malcolm, you've been in and out the industry for, what, over 20 years now? Oh, yeah, because listen, if y'all not following Verbal Be Rapping, please do yourself a favor and go follow their Instagram right now. You posted a cover of was that a magazine?
I posted, I think you're talking about that year 2000 Young Actors Starter Kit? There's two throwbacks. There was a high school magazine picture where I'm cooking for Kwanzaa, which I never did before or after that picture. Anyway, I put this black guy on the cover, cook for Kwanzaa.
Cooking for Kwanzaa. First of all, Kwanzaa was 3 years old. It was a brand new holiday.
I had more birthdays than Kwanzaa.
It's funny because it's true.
Yeah.
But so you were on that and then you did something else.
Yeah, I posted my what I called the Year 2000 Young Actor Starter Kit because I've been cleaning through my place, or my homegirl has been helping me clean through my place. Mm-hmm. And I have a crate with all my stuff from New York that I haven't even opened in years. And it had my headshot, the whole, like when you have a bunch of headshots on one page there. Mm. And I had my resume. It had the Ross report, which I don't even know if it still exists.
I don't think so. But 1 second, just for the people that don't know, when Malcolm first started acting, guys, you had to have black and white headshots. So he has a lot of headshots and pictures with like Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. He's very, very, some would say, tenured in his acting. Just old as fuck. Michael, when you started acting, how long have you been in the business?
About 10 years. For mine, it was I before this, I actually was doing autopsies full time. So I working for a medical examiner's office in Pittsburgh as well as in Cleveland, Ohio. I worked on the serial killer from the Imperial Avenue. I worked on 8 of the victims from the Imperial Avenue murders. Worked on a bunch of different really like high profile cases. I guess through all of the death and dying, that was the thing that kind of inspired me to kind of go outside of my comfort zone and start doing more acting. So
with live people around would have been outside of your comfort zone, Michael, is what it sounded like.
It's hard to, most just getting out of the house sometimes is just acting, you know, for me.
So, I'm working in Pittsburgh and in Cleveland. Those are two great cities for death. So I'm sure it was no shortage on business.
We had two serial killers during the time that I was there.
You know what's crazy? So I follow a lot of these pages. Obviously, with the show Damn Internet, You're Scary, I find a lot of crazy stuff online. I was looking at a page last night, and it was like these morbid facts. And they say if you're killed in the United States, you probably have the least chance of finding your killer. Only one in three murders are actually solved when it's a homicide. Also, at any given time, and this is a fact, at any given time, because I had to look it up, there are 3,000 serial killers in the United States.
That's
at any given time.
Yeah. There's definitely, because that's the interesting thing with it is to actually have a serial killer murder. It takes a period of time where they kill, mm-hmm. they cool down, and then they heat back up again, and they want to kill again. And then it has that pattern of three over a period of time. So that's
a lot. I went down a rabbit hole about killers because a lot of people mix up serial killers with something else.
Obvious.
It's three different ones when it comes to like the style of serial killer, and then it's different murders when it comes to when it comes to like the type of killing. So like a mass killing has to be so many people shooting is between this and this. I mean, it's just like, oh shit, this is a whole science genre.
America, where we branded killing and what patterns of killings there are. Good God. Yeah,
nobody kills like us, America.
We got genres. We got genres like his Afrobeat and stuff.
Not one.
man. It's pretty wild. When I was looking it up, I was like, "Oh, this is different." I didn't really know that it was like that. And speaking of different, fellas, listen, if you're ready to take your sex game to the next level, you're ready to do something different, you're ready to try to be the best you've ever been, then you need to get with this Blue Chew, baby. Blue Chew is a unique online service that offers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but at a fraction of the cost and in a chewable form. I've never was a person that liked taking pills, okay? I'm not good at it. I've had to break up vitamins, all of that. So the fact that Blue Chew was chewable, I was already hooked in. Mind you, when I took Blue Chew, I didn't need Blue Chew. I did not need it. I just wanted to see what the possibilities were. All right. If I'm playing basketball and I'm averaging 9 points, 2 assists, 3 blocks, and these shoes say that they're gonna double my, why would I not try the shoes? And that's what Blue Chew is for me. All right. One of the best things about Blue Chew for me is that it's all done online. That means no doctor's visits, no awkward conversations at the pharmacy, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. You get online, fill out the survey, you talk to one of the licensed physicians, and then it ships directly to your door in a discreet box. All right. So you get to alleviate all the foolishness. So, fellas, you know, if we're telling you about it, we got that hookup for you. We got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew for free when you use our promo code DIYS at checkout. And all you have to do is pay $5 for shipping. Again, you get to try your first month of Blue Chew for free. All you do is pay $5 get it for free at checkout. You pay $5 for shipping. And, you're welcome in advance. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. We thank BlueChew for sponsoring this show. All right. That's basically how it goes, guys. I just slide. Anything I can do, I'm going to just get in there and I'm find that pocket and make sure our sponsors are thanking respectfully.
Speaking now, of murder.
What the fuck is on your head?
Speaking of murder, if you want to murder that pussy, then get yourself Get yourself
some blue. You know what's crazy is watching the show. It's funny when you know actors, right? And you're friends with these people. Because as I'm watching The Average Joe, I'm like, Malcolm is actually more like the lady in his life. Malcolm is somebody that I would absolutely call when I got to move some bodies. Okay, Malcolm would have known certain things, so certain people wouldn't even found out information. Malcolm is just a guy, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for either one of us. What does it say about the company I keep? And also, damn, Malcolm. But yeah, Malcolm is absolutely somebody I would call if I needed to move a body. Michael, you were
mission. And now I'm like a forensic consultant by night, but actor by day. Still waiting for the actor thing to catch on a little bit more. But
I get it. I get it. Did you like, it seems like such a quiet job and something that's, I don't know, just eerie and untraditional. Did you have a playlist? Did you have a set daily thing, a list of things that you did before to get you in, I won't say the mood to go to work, but like, how do you stay, I don't know, human and you basically dissect humans every day for work?
It takes a little bit of balance. Yeah, it takes definitely a balance because like it's an emotional divide because what I do is not natural, you know, taking somebody apart. That becomes very, you know, abnormal.
Malcolm just texted me and he said balance is cold for drugs. But go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, it's alcohol. Yeah, you drink a hell of a lot when you just deal with the work, you know. But no, it's definitely it's finding that balance, you know, of where, you know, where you kind of maintain your humanity, but you also, I don't know, and I don't know, it's a great question. But it took me time. It really did. It took me time, and that's kind of one of the things of why I started to act, because it gave me at least an emotional release that I could cry on camera or feel something that it wasn't, you know, like as men, we're always very afraid to touch any sensitive side or be, look funny or look stupid, you know, like, or do something different. So for me, my opportunity to kind of do that and feel safe, I guess, so to speak.
That's good, man. At least you had something. Well, listen, before we go any further, I want to let you guys know that we do have a clip in here, and we're also going to talk about some potential spoiler alerts. So if you guys, when you see that, there's also going to be a sound that accompanies it. So when you see that, you might want to mute your screen for a second, because we're going to get into it. I can't have these amazing artists on this show and not talk about something, because I was feeling the way after the very first episode. I was very much feeling the way. So we are definitely going to be talking about that while we're going through some of these crazy ass stories that Hippie has found for us. So at this point right now, I'm going to jump into one of these stories. And Malcolm, I know you can't wait to talk some shit and get in here with me. That's not it. Wait. Let me pull up this run of show real quick. So
yeah. Does the sound, you guys, the spoiler alert sound will go like this. And that's how you know a spoiler is coming.
Spoiler alert.
That works too.
I think that might have been better. Don't you think that was better?
It had elements.
There were parts of it that shined. I don't know about the whole thing, but there were parts of it that shined. Okay, pulling up this run of show real quick. Oh, wow. All right. Well, I might have to just look at it on my phone, Hippie. I didn't renew my Microsoft. Look. That Microsoft shit be coming up. I feel like when you buy a PC and it comes with Windows, I shouldn't have to pay for this shit no more. Okay? This and the McAfee would not be the death of me. That McAfee gonna come up every goddamn time and let you know it's expired. And then they switch it up. It's like expired, and you got a box that says renew or okay. And I got messed up clicking that, man.
Microsoft. Here's the reason the Boeing airplanes weren't working. I didn't know they had to hear.
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. So listen, we're going to start with the astronauts stuck in space. You guys have heard about this one, right?
Mm. No.
There's some astronauts who were supposed to come home. They're on a star. Yeah, they're stranded on the the Starliner astronauts that stuck in space until 2025. We're going to start with the first one, just to bring them up to speed, and then we'll go into the strange noises. So they have a craft up there, but this craft has been having some problems. It was like supposedly a helium leak and some other things going on. And they couldn't get it fixed, so they have to stay up there until the next one comes up, and that's going to be around February 2025, and that one's going to take them home. Now, the one that's up there, that bitch still got gas in it. It can bend a couple corners, and they're going to bring that home remotely, unmanned. They got all of this technology to get something to space, unmanned, and get it back. But they can't fix the helium problem in it. Now, I thought they could just take some, like, when they get it in the ship, just have a whole lot of helium balloons and just take a little, right? I thought you could possibly do that, but evidently you can't do that. So
I figured maybe the one female astronaut, she bent down and he's like, baby, we're going to have to take this, you know, we're going to have to be a little coming home.
I don't know how I would react to having to stay in space an extra, let's see, February the 2nd, an extra 7-8 months when I was supposed to come home in June.
That's crazy.
That's a whole conversation to tell your partner, too. You stuck up there with somebody of the opposite sex and you're like, yeah, I'm going to stay a little bit longer.
How do you prepare provisions and like food and stuff? Like, I wonder how much back.
Well, I was watching some Neil deGrasse Tyson clip, and, you know, it's not like they're stuck in their shuttle. They're actually at a space station.
Right.
I think it's International Space Station.
Yeah.
And so it was hard for him to give square footage because it's not, that's just not how it works.
It looked like a container home.
Yeah, but it's got multiple modules, multiple rooms. Like, it's a huge space so that you don't feel like you're just stuck inside of a ship with one person.
Right.
So, and I think they also said, you know, there's a certain amount of supplies of food that's already there.
Yeah.
And also depending, and I think the food is also germane to who's staying in it. Like, I think there's modules where it's like more American food. You know, there's other places where, you know, if there's Russians in the International Space Station.
I'm stealing some of that food. I'm trying everybody food, bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, get some of this Russian stuff.
You think for a month? Listen, I'm going to Vadovic's hub. All right, I'm getting his food. I don't know what the Russians gonna be eating on space station, but we finna find the fuck out. I feel like it's a lot of potatoes up there, and I only think about that because of The Martian with Matt Damon.
That's your sole frame of reference for space.
That is like the food they was eating in the army when it was like the hydrated fruit. So just The Martian and just old army clips is what I'm basing the menu off of.
Good. I feel like that's accurate.
He made those potatoes look so goddamn good. Oh, shit.
Oh, see, there we go.
Ooh. God damn.
Exactly.
Okay,
what
I don't know, like, for size reference, I don't know how big that is, but that's about 4 days walking. Because it's at the bottom, too. You see, it's at... Yeah, they're good.
Yeah, and I think they also have people that come... Like, I think they have shows that come in and bring supplies, I think, at some point, or something like that.
Wait. Unmanned? More unmanned shuttles?
I don't know if it's unmanned, because my research was 3 minutes of me watching Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Post-doctorate.
It better be a man, because how the fuck you gonna drop me off some bread and some sandwich meat, but not take me home?
I feel like that too. I'm like, there's no extra space out here.
Yeah, yep. I'll get in the trunk. I'll get in the trunk.
Yeah. Some guy shows up and he's like, oh, they were out. I went around pizza that day.
Here's the thing. I could do it. I could totally do it if they got streaming capabilities. Now, let me tell you something. I'm going to be pissed off. If you mean to tell me I'm up here with the satellites that are sending the signals for everybody's Wi-Fi and streaming, and we can't get Hulu for free in this bitch, I'm breaking some shit before I leave.
I think I could not handle that at all. Like, I'm in a weird zone where I'm so bored. Like, I'm on my phone all the time right now. Mm-hmm. I'm just in that space. Like, I'm watching clips in the shower. You know what I mean? So I just feel like if you send me to space for 6 months and I'm just talking to you,
yeah,
I don't want to do that.
Malcolm, you would not be able to handle missing the parties and your friends uploading stuff to Instagram. Wish you were here, Michael. No. Oh, fucking right, Average Joe's. You know how mad I would be? I would start losing my mind. Once you jack off upside down, you've lost it, right? And you lost it at that point.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah. You
know, I'm just trying to think of a semen flow.
Exactly.
You jackal it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a wrap on the rest of your states.
You float, trying to chase the car with a diabetes. Just fuck. Fuck. Never go. God damn it. Yeah. I'm going to get you on and come back. I'm going to get your ass when I come.
No.
Be hanging out.
Hey, let me tell you something. I feel like Amazon is not capitalizing on this opportunity. I feel like if Amazon, because Jeff Bezos, I feel like he could definitely do it. Say Jeff Bezos sends them like an Amazon package, like some food and shit. Best fucking marketing campaign in the world. Temu dead, bitch. Sheen, you're fucking out of here. If Amazon figures out how to film them sending the package to the space station.
You know what's crazy? Did you hear this? There's this woman who went viral singing this song. And I think they had a female astronaut going up into space. This tells you how much, you know, when you talk about toxic masculinity or like male-dominated stuff, this tells you how much things slip through the cracks. Where they sent an astronaut, a female astronaut, up into space for like a week. And they were like, here's 1,000 tampons. They were like, how many tampons do you need? Here's 1,000. These are literal rocket scientists. Who are like, how many tampons does a woman need for a week? Like that escaped all of their research, their science, their way of life.
Here's the thing. The guys that are planning those missions right there, they ain't never had sex. They ain't never got no vagina.
They're not getting...
Yeah, it's obviously no females in that group. It was just all guys that do this every 14 seconds. Just this right here. And yeah, man, that's just... couldn't do it. Now, Michael, I want to get your take on this. You work with the dead.
I pulled out
some shit. You. I don't know your take on aliens and shit like that, but you obviously understand the science and biology of things. So, I want to get somebody that is in the field. If I feel like if you do autopsies, you're not really into ghosts and spirits, which also may mean that you don't really lean into aliens. And this is just a general broad blanket statement. This is nothing that you did to say. We have a clip of those same two astronauts calling back home saying, yo, we hear some shit out here. So Hippie's gonna bring that one up right now. And basically, what happens is that the same team that's stuck up there right now started hearing some strange noises. And they sent that down. Hippie, you got that for us?
Houston, I'm too. I've got a question about Starliner.
Houston's with you, Butch. Go ahead.
It's a strange noise coming through the speaker, and I didn't know if you could connect into the Starliner and let me keep mic and let you hear. I don't know what's making it, but I don't know if it's something that maybe is connected between here and there making that happen. But anyway, can you do that?
We can configure that, Butch.
Yes, sir. Okay, I'm gonna keep the mic up next to the speaker.
Copy. All right, Butch, that one came through. It was kind of like a pulsing noise, almost like a sonar ping.
Yeah, I'll do it one more time, and I'll let y'all scratch your heads and see if you can figure out what's going on. Here we go.
So, Michael, you're in a space station, okay? Your world is based around science.
Yes.
Okay. You start hearing this noise coming from the space station. What you think?
It's definitely rhythmic. I would hope, for me personally, I hope that there's I hope that there's more intelligent life out there in the universe than there is here. There has to be. But for me, I'd like to see that there'd be something else. There has to be some sort of response and some sort of an intelligence to it, a reaction to it. I heard like a slight variation, but it sounded very mechanical and it's you know.
Mm-hmm. Malcolm?
Yeah, that's the Predator, man. Your answer was just so smart the way you laid it out. That
Yeah. And I was hoping he was going to do it like that, give a very, you know, sound reason, science proof, science backing. Man, let me tell you something. I'd be shitting on myself. I had to wear a diaper.
I have one paranormal kind of moment that I had I used to teach these like kind of classes. Now it's taken over by Chris Harris, who works in Cuyahoga County. He runs and kind of teaches a lot of these crime scene investigations. But in this little warehouse that we would store all of this evidence from old past crimes, past pieces, we had an after hours tour. And the little crime scene investigation, display was divided into four little rooms that you can investigate. And we were teaching crime scene investigation to some of the local law enforcement. Now, one of the things we were doing is I'm after hours, nobody else is there. And I have a set of keys. So I start going in to open up this, open up the crime scene areas. I turn on this little TV that's there, and it's an old TV. I didn't think anything of it. It didn't start up at first. And so I'm like, I don't have time for this shit. And I went on to the next one, set all the crime scene up, went to the third one. And I was at the fourth one, the TV turned on. And I was just like, okay, it's like nothing scientifically. I just looked at it and said, that's fine. So I turned down the volume and stuff like that and just kind of backed away. And when I went into another adjacent office, the sound went on the TV, so you could hear it, like all the static, and then I couldn't breathe. So that was like kind of, and so basically, the only thing that I said was, if my presence pisses you off, there's about to be a whole bunch of other people here in about 10 minutes. So I'm like, I don't know what you want me to say. And then like, I stepped away and the feeling kind of went away. So I've had that one, and you know, and over me doing this over the 20 some years, you always get that kind of that funky feeling where you're being watched. So like I've always had that where you take bodies out of the morgue and you put them away. But there was one night where I was working late hours, and I just went and slept in. There was like it was when I was working in the hospital. My wife was pregnant with my son, and I was trying to just work as many hours as I could. Mm-hmm. And it used to take me like an hour to get to work and an hour to get back. So I just said, fuck it, I'm just going to sleep there in the morgue. So there was a little cot that I had outside of the morgue door. Mm-hmm. Let security know that I was good. And they were like, fine, we'll leave you alone. Well, somebody grabbed my leg and kind of like was trying to get me to wake up. And half asleep, I looked up and I was like, hey, I'm okay. I'm just sleeping. I like they know I'm here, and then put my glasses on, got up, and I like went to go talk to the person, and they were gone. So those are the only spooky shit, I guess you could say, that I've seen over my time.
You know, Michael, you say only as if that's not bad. Fucking terrified, Michael. And you know, I feel confident saying this, you know, with Malcolm being here and also our listeners. That's that white people shit, Michael, sleeping in the morgue. Okay. Because I know you had a car and I get you want to lay out, you want to stretch out, but you know, that's the equivalent to sleeping in the cemetery, Michael. And that's white people, okay?
That's time
for trouble. That's what it is. Did you sleep in the morgue again after that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that part's yeah. That part's white.
Who don't learn their goddamn lesson.
Now, I will tell you, the closest I have to that is, you know, I come from I come from a funeral parlor family. Yeah, I don't know if you know that to hear.
I'm sorry.
I come from a funeral parlor family. Like, would you say, Michael?
I said, I don't remember us talking about that when we were on set. I think we were so focused on Average Joe
that
we had that moment.
My grandfather used to run a couple funeral homes in Brooklyn. So I like grew up around like dead bodies. So I'd be like a little kid running around, like, cause I didn't visit my grandfather at his house. I would always visit him at work cause he was always at work.
Yeah.
So I would run around the funeral parlor. So I would see dead bodies all the time. Like if there was going to be a service later in the day, like usually what will happen is they'll have like the room, like a small auditorium or whatever that room is for the viewing. And it'll be just filled with chairs. I'll never forget. There's two like real strong memories I have. It'll be like a room full of chairs and then just the casket at the end of the room, right before anybody gets there. So a couple times it would just be me alone in this room with this strange dead body, this casket, and just this room full of chairs on more than one occasion. And then I remember one time I went downstairs and Mr. Whitfield, he was the guy that handled everything. And he's a straight up character, like the guy who's with dead bodies, but he's always like, really like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
And so I'll never forget the first naked dead body I saw. And it was, I went downstairs. I think there's only one, but I went downstairs. I don't have as many as you, Michael. And I go downstairs and I see Mr. Whitfield, I believe, embalming a body. And it was this big naked fat woman, and he's just got a tube and he's just doing whatever the hell he's doing with that tube. And I just remember, I'm, you know, like eight in my head, I was eight for anything that happened below 20. And so I literally, it's just me going like, and it just loss of innocence, just like, you know, I hadn't seen a naked woman in my life at that point. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's just like, I'm like, that is a human.
The first one that you do see is a BBW. dead BBW at that, and so forth is the origin story of Malcolm's fascination with that particular genre of porn. Here's the thing, guys. If you are, you know, experiencing a lot of paranormal activity, I got nothing. Send us emails, send us letters. We would love to talk about your story. However, if you're going through a tough time from the loss of a loved one or working hard or life just lifing, because gosh, I tell you, this year has been the most okayest year, yet still the most emotionally challenging year I've had in a very long time. If you're dealing with anything like that, I just want to let you know that this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. All right. And if you're going through something like that, you definitely should check them out. We are doing away with that stigma that men don't go to therapy, that men don't talk. Like Michael just said, you know, we were kind of raised to show or not show emotion, or we couldn't show emotion. We're done with that. All right. We are all men who know that we have feelings. We know that we have to process these emotions and these feelings. And the best way to do that, if you've never had any professional therapy, is to get with a therapist. All right. You get sick. You go to the doctor. Your car gets messed up. You take it to a mechanic. The point is, when things are wrong in your life, you go to a professional. You seek professional help. And that's what BetterHelp will provide for you. It's entirely done online. It's designed to be convenient, be flexible, suited to your schedule. You fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with one of their licensed therapists, and you can switch therapists at any time with no additional charge to you. And that's the huge thing. When I was doing therapy and I was with traditional therapy, first therapist took 2 months to get, and then the second one I had to pay for because I wasn't feeling the first one. That took another month and a half, and they charged me to switch. You won't experience any of those things with BetterHelp. They are really about putting the patient and your mental health first. So if you've ever thought about trying or starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Visit BetterHelp.com/DIYS today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DIYS.
Hey, have you seen Naked Dead Bodies since you were 8? Then you should probably get better help.
Yeah, especially with no explanation. Like, if it was just there, like on your living room couch, get some help and a lawyer, because you may be an accessory. Even at 8, you could be an accessory.
And I know you think talking to your friend is therapy. Yeah, it helps, but get better help.
Yeah. Oh, that was good. That was so good and so painfully bad at the same time. That was like a genuine dad joke that you laugh at. You're like, oh, that was.
I'm gonna have kids just so I can tell that joke. Just so I can do that.
I don't think you should just for that joke.
Oh man.
Let's get into some of these spoilers before we go into another story. Let's cue up the spoiler alert, hippie, just so y'all know what's about to go down right now. Cueing it up for you. This is a spoiler alert.
Bam, 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 bam.
Spoiler alert.
Now, for those that are still watching, we are only talking about the first episode because I am damn near done with the second episode, but I'm not. And I don't want no spoiler alert. So if you've already started watching the show, you're good to go. If you don't care about spoilers, you're good to go. But we're only talking about the first episode. First episode that Michael was actually in. That's where we got introduced to Michael. In this episode, he plays a henchman, a Russian mobster, handling that business, putting in that work. And then Malcolm comes in and it just makes a fucking mess of the scene. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and we're going to check out this spoiler real quick of Average Joe. Oh, the trailer. I'm sorry. The trailer.
Everybody grab a drink, please. To Teddy Washington.
To Teddy.
The world's greatest Dilla fan you'll ever see. Father. Tow truck driver. And sometimes asshole.
What in the entire fuck?
Let me get this straight. Your dad stole $10 million from the Russian mob.
Is that right?
And a Lamborghini.
And a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
You sound insane.
What do? Go to Touch?
Yeah, we call Touch.
We was just thinking, like, maybe we look for the rest of the money.
Yeah, but we knew what you were gonna say.
I want in.
We had no idea what you were gonna say.
You want in?
In.
Touch is in? Let's be clear, Touch. This case is mine.
And I know this town better than any.
All right. So we ain't going to show the whole trailer because the whole trailer is 2 minutes long. But listen, guys. This is good. This is good. I'm checking with Hippie right now because I don't know. We've had a spoiler in the runner show. And that just might come up when we're talking about some of the characters in there in the first episode. So I just wanted to confirm that's what it was. And she confirmed that's what it was. Michael, you get the call. You get the audition for this. You go in, kill it. You get hired. You're thrilled. Take us through the next couple things.
I was actually, working, still doing autopsies. So my agent told me that while I was in, I think like Idaho, Boise, Idaho, doing an autopsy. So it was great. I got the call. I started getting the material, and then I started learning Russian as best as I could, because I didn't know anything about that. I was lucky that they gave me a dialect coach.
Right.
And went over that. I was as prepared as I could be. And for me, this is probably one of the biggest exposure type roles that I've had, because I'm just, you know, a character actor that's done a lot of like smaller stuff. You me on The Good Lord Bird on Showtime, or a Lifetime movie here or there. But it's, you know, I also played like a undead Santa Claus. So it's like, I'm playing anything I can, you know, but, for me, it's like you try to get into the mental headspace. I knew that I had a type of role like this. It's kind of setting up all of the stakes that Joe really has to have for the story. So, but what scarier role than to be able to play a Russian that you can't really communicate with? It's this force of that's unblinking, always staring at you, going to kill you and break your goddamn arms until he gets what he needs. So that's kind of the force of what is going to be there to come. So you'll if you watch that first episode, you'll be able to see what happens to Joe and what mm-hmm. happens to Georgie. And then we'll be able to see, you know, how all of the rest of the story progressed there. But for me, it was ecstatic. I'm based out of Nashville, Tennessee. I've been living between Miami and Nashville. But I was, I filmed that down in Atlanta, Georgia, and was there for weeks and enjoyed every moment of it. Got to learn from such incredible talent like Michael and Malcolm and Dion. It was a privilege. It really was.
Oh, you know, I love it, man. First of all, I like Nashville too. Nashville is that city that's next on the rise and people don't realize it. And then when it's going in 10 years, everybody's like, shit, I should have brought property down there. You guys Absolutely. Got Soho now. You got the one hotel. That downtown scene is very attractive. It's very, y'all got that one strip of like bars and restaurants. And it feels like shit, damn near like Beale Street. Yeah. Also feels like DC. They got that, what is it, H Street with all the, so it's a lot going on over there, man. I like it.
It's definitely got a really nice music scene and mm-hmm. artistically they're really trying to build it up movie wise to try mm-hmm. to make some local opportunities happen here.
Yeah, man. I think it's gonna happen because then I think the country music station moved down there too. The CMT, I think they moved down there in Nashville too. It's either there or Austin, but I'm pretty sure it's Nashville. But Malcolm, this is not just another role for you. This is one of the roles you really get to sink your teeth into, man. Like I'm watching my boy on the screen. I'm like, look at him over there, scary ass. I say, man, if people only knew the real Malcolm, how were you when you got this news that you booked the role in? How did you prepare to be a hoe?
You know, it was really interesting because, you know, I found out that, you know, me and Cynthia Plays Kathy, we were dating at the time or before the show even started. So we kind of were finding out at the same time, you know, like,
wait, you were dating your opposite love interest?
Yeah.
Messy little bitch. You know what?
We were together first for the record.
See, this is why people have stories about Hollywood. Oh, is this, is that? And you're making it true. He's like, yeah, I only come on if you get my girl, or if you book it before I book it, you say that too.
Hey, I'll tell you this. She booked it first. She booked it first. And what's funny is we were keeping it quiet at the time because the executive director knew because he's our buddy, you know, and he brought us in and he was like, there's this BET show. And we both were like, eh. And he was like, no, they're paying money now. I was like, oh, okay, all right. And so she actually got it before me because she had a history with them and because she's talented. And so it was funny because then I had the test, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which is just like chemistry test or final audition. Mm-hmm. But we were having it online. You know, like you're doing it through this thing, but she's like in another room in the house, you know? But like, yeah, they were like Eric, he's like, so Malcolm, this is Cynthia. Cynthia, this is Malcolm. You guys are gonna be partnered up. We're like, nice. And then we do it. And then after it's over, I was like, I tell you this though, if she has the role, I want it too, man. She's good as hell. I was like, y'all made the right choice with this one over here. You know.
She's good, man. She's so good. And she's so fiery, man. And it's so funny because we all know a person like that. And we all know a chick like that. We all know one that ain't scared of shit. Also, a little crazy, right? Yeah. A little freaky. Y'all was about to get it on in the basement with dead people rap. She's perfect for that role, bro.
Yeah.
Such a good
Yeah. Track. Yeah. And you know, that's what attracted both of us. I mean, aside from working together, we both got to play things that we don't normally play. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I you know, I don't think she gets to have this sort of fire in this way in her past stuff. And me, I very rarely play the idiot. I always play the smartest person in the room, you know, partially because like my first three roles, you know, I'm
in itself is a role for you as a person.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm a child of the 80s. So it's like when I was coming up as an actor, like my first couple roles were some version of a drug dealer. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I
worked very hard.
Yeah, you were on Sopranos.
I was on Sopranos. So I worked very hard to be like, look, I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to play the smartest person in the room always. And then you have to like, what's funny is you play a thing, then you're that thing, and then you play the other thing, and then you're caught as that thing for a while. And so, you know, I was like, well, this is great. Now I get to let my guard down. I get to be this. And also, it's just like, you know, I do a lot of shows where I am the only black guy on the show. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you don't want to play the fool in that environment. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't
want to be the
black guy playing the fool. So this was really fun because I don't have like a slew of, you know, all black shows that I'm working on. And so this, I'm able to let my guard down in a different way and be a couple different things. And it's fun to play an idiot and on some level.
On some level.
On this show. He's not a total idiot, but he's dumber than I've ever played.
He's way more timid than I remember you ever being in life. Michael, you kick off your scene just breaking motherfuckers' fingers, bro, which I respect. How does that ever, or has that ever happened as an autopsy technician?
Michael Tahir can't say words that have.
Yeah, well, I set the preface with that. I prefaced that at the beginning of the show.
God, catch wording is hard on Tubi.
Right as hard as I'm to be. I'm shooting my special on the 20th. As an autopsy technician, have you ever had to like break ribs or anything like? Well, I mean, I guess you have to because like you have to remove the whole chest cavity.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a very standard Y-shaped incision. Everything comes back. I've cut off fingers. I've broken necks. I've taken people's faces off. I've cut out entire vaginas and assholes together.
That's weird that you thought I would like that. Like Michael, I don't know what type of Christian I am. I'm a different type of Christian. I'm not a Hollywood Christian. I'm a Midwest, Church of God of Christ.
So, wait, Michael, under what circumstances are you breaking necks?
By accident, to be honest, because what you get rigor mortis. So sometimes when their necks, when a person dies, their body, it's a rule of 12. They go into rigor mortis. It takes about 12 hours. It lasts for about 12 hours, and it dissipates at about 36. So sometimes when you're trying, if they're dead like this, and their neck is to their chin is to their chest, it's really, really tough. Sometimes, Malcolm, you can be able to push that head back and be able to stretch the muscles out so they don't. But sometimes unfortunately, you break the neck. It's called a hangman, it's called a mortician fracture. So it's not at the AC or the atlantal occipital joint, but it's typically like a couple down. A little bit lower is what they call the hangman's fracture because where they're falling and they're breaking their neck, you know, because it takes like a little bit of a force with that.
Michael. Did not know that rigor mortis resets. I didn't know that it leaves. I thought once it was there, that's where they get their mail at from now on. Thought they lived there. That's number one.
It's a tissue binding. And then the only thing with the potassium sodium transport pump, when that, it kind of just chains it, you have it, but then you tear it. Yeah. So it never really unbinds. That's the whole idea of the lack of respiration, because when you breathe it in, that's what you're taking more of that in. So then it helps it. So you can break that apart.
The second thing is that the way that he said Malcolm's name in that explanation, he was like, when you break a neck, Malcolm, what you have to do. I was like, oh shit, that was personal. So Malcolm, watch out. Just want to let you know,
I love Malcolm.
I felt it was very personal. I felt like I was his assistant. I was like, okay. I was like, I'm. You talk about calling. You talk about me being the man to call. I feel like Michael's the guy to call if you got to get rid of a body. I feel like.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, I mean, when he said forensic science, I was like, oh, he's still working with the feds. I can't call him. You know, he on payroll. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want to make it weird for him or for me. But we're talking about a lot of science. I'm going to jump back into a story real quick. This just came up. Blue lava is evidently a real thing. I had never seen anything like this. You know, I remember, who was it? Was it cannabis first that said, I cut you so fast, your blood will still be blue?
It might have been. That sounds like a cannabis line.
It does sound like a cannabis bar, but yeah. So this was happening, and I'm trying to pull it up on my phone so I can actually watch it too. But some blue lava erupted in Ethiopia. We got some clips of it. I ain't never seen no shit like this. I feel like this is just another sign that we fucked up Earth. Hopefully, it's a good enough sign to make aliens not want to come here and fuck with us. But I mean, come on, who are we kidding? We know aliens are already here. The ocean. In Ethiopia, specifically the Erta El volcano, there's a phenomenon where the lava appears blue rather than the usual red or orange. The unique occurrence is not actually due to the lava itself being blue. The blue color comes from the burning of sulfuric gases, which are emitted by the volcano. When these gases come into contact with oxygen at high temperatures, they ignite and burn with an intense blue flame. This creates a stunning visual effect of blue lava. Yeah, you know, I talked about the what was that guy's name? That was beefing with LL Cool J.
Cannabis.
That line. It was either him or Wu Tang. But they say I cut you so fast that your blood still be blue. Blood is it turns red from the oxygen, right?
No. Really?
Yeah.
No. It was a myth.
The oxygenation, in all of the bodies I've ever cut, I've never had anybody that's been blue blood. Maybe like a dark, dark red, but nothing where it's been blue. But that's the where it's supposed to be when it's in the veins.
That's not true, though, is it?
I don't 100% know.
Oh, you know what? Let's just look at that. I'm looking it up. Why do many think human blood is sometimes blue? Let's look it up right now.
Supposed to be deactivated blood is supposed to be the blue blood, and then after it gets returned in the arteries, it's supposed to be red.
What this thing says is horseshoe crabs and octopus are the only things that actually have blue blood. Our blood is red because of the hemoglobins.
Much flesh
and yeah, that's about it. But our blood is red; it's bright red. Arteries carry it. And arteries carry rich oxygen state throughout the body, and it's still red. So, yeah, I would have thought it was still. I don't know. You know what's weird to me is that people used to think that blood was blue until oxygen hit it.
Yeah,
which would mean that. I don't know. I just always thought it was something weird about like when we get a shot, how they have to make sure that all the air is out of the syringe because the smallest air bubble can kill you. And I just always thought that was like the weirdest thing that we need air to breathe, but air can also kill you, and the smallest amount of air could kill you.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. If it's enough in there, like I guess if there's that's getting into like pathology type, you know, the really like the deeper pathology stuff, where like more the doctorate level stuff. I know that there's a low amount that you could have that's just kind of. It could be in your bloodstream, but there's like if you have 25 cc's of blood. So let's put it in context and terms. The average body has 5 liters of blood in the body. Ready? Average size person. You lose 2 of those, you bleed out, and then your body gets you start getting thrown off into this like an arrhythmia because your heart is too deprived of oxygen. You get to 3 liters, you're out, you die. That's why you need blood products to be able to up your pressure at that time. So those are some of the things. So like if you get shot and that's why it's exsanguination. You know, you leak out your blood.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. Everybody needs to have a friend like Michael, okay? He's a numbers guy. You always need a numbers guy on your team, okay? Especially if you're participating in something so amazing as Prize Picks, okay? Because Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. How you like those numbers? All you have to do is pick more or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. And while we're talking about winnings, let's just keep it a buck. Right now is the best time to do it. September, okay? September, they are hooking you up. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Pick with as little as 4 correct picks. And all you have to do is pick more than or less than on 2 player stats. Come on, man. Everybody getting a part of this. You can play alongside of Drewski, Joe Budden, and MMA champs Sugar Sheen O'Malley. So what are you waiting on? Download the Prize Pick app today. Use the code DIYS and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That code is DIYS on Prize Picks and get $50 instantly when you play $5. Now here's the thing. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks run your game. You feel me? That's a win. You ain't got to win, Malcolm. Go and sign up, man. Use that DIYS.
Hey, you know what? Always bet on black. That's my rule when it comes to sports betting. Always bet on black. Just remember that.
Hey, man, I just be trying to listen to what other people be doing. That's how I learn. Because you never want to ask a room full of people that are, like, super well-knowledgeable on what they talking about. So I just wait. I just overhear, like, what we doing? Oh, okay. I guess that's what we doing then.
This
I
works.
Don't know nothing about it, man.
I didn't know I was addicted to gambling until I started gambling. Like, so I can only gamble every once in a while because I remember I was like, look, it's Vegas, it's whatever, man. I'll play a game or whatever. Like at the end of the night, I was like, where's my money? Let's get in there.
Scratching the arm.
They're like, it's sun up. I don't care. Sun up, sun down. I don't care, man. Let's put the money down. Let's go.
My hippie had to point out in the chat that I said MMA.
The amount of letters that you put into words and the amount of letters you take out of words is
purely, it should be studied. I'd be so excited. I'm like a puppy with something shiny.
Did you say Sugar Sheen Mosley? Who did you?
Sugar Shane.
Okay.
And anyway, man, listen. They got this new robot out. Y'all want to check this out with me?
This human robot?
Yeah, this one that looked like it was in a suit.
Yeah, it's a bad idea.
Yeah, I feel like after all of the Terminator movies, we are just walking right into the face of danger. 1X Technologies has introduced the Neo Beta, a new humanoid robot designed for home use. It's powered by AI and machine learning. Neo Beta can learn and improve tasks based on real-world feedback. 5 kilograms and features cushioned jumpsuits to enhance safety, with plans to test in select homes later this year before mass production. As the market for humanoid robots grows, 1X Technology has raised $100 million in Series B funding. Have no idea what that is. That is just, that's legal jargon for you'll never get this money. It's going to go to them. While competitor Figure AI recently secured $675 million and is valued at $2.6 billion. Well, shit, Figure AI got that bag. I just don't, what I can see the benefit for an elderly person or maybe somebody with MS or, you know, some other debilitating machine. But why are we doing this?
Here's my thing. There's no helpful reason to have a humanoid robot in the house. There's no reason for it to be humanoid. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's inefficient. Like, in terms of moving around, like, uh-huh. it's it, But for me also, like, it feels like the Boston Dynamics thing, right? Like, we thought we were getting a cute puppy dog, and then they put, like, lasers and you know, flamethrowers on it. So for me, the only reason I have a humanoid robot is either for war or for fucking. That's the only two reasons we develop most technology. Is, I mean, look, the streaming, the tapes, that came out of porn. VR, that came out of porn. Like, this just feels to me someone's going to fuck or fight this robot. There's no other. I saw them doing like a demonstration, and the robot like gave a woman her book bag. And I was like, that can't be worth $100 million. That can't, even at a testing stage. That seems stupid.
I feel like, you know, I was agreeing with you up until I started thinking about, like, why does it need to be a humanoid figure? And one, I think, is to provide, coincidentally, a sense of calm. So this thing looks like a human. Somebody comes over. If you wake up in the middle of the night, you see it cleaning, something like that, you don't freak out because it's...
You think you won't freak out if you see a robotic human when you wake up in the middle of the night?
Well, if I bought it, no, because I probably paid a lot of money for it. But if somebody's sleeping over my house and they see a mechanical tarantula... dust in the ceiling, I think that would freak them out most.
I get you a glass of water.
Look, you make a basic robot, the ones that out of the 80s films or whatever, they just look fine. You half of us get scared if there's clothes in the shape of a human in the middle of the night. I see this robot standing over me. Fuck out.
Listen, they need to have some form of the humanoid body, because stuff like washing dishes, grabbing things, you need the posable thumb for. So if they don't have that, like, some of these parts, I completely understand them needing them.
But sure, that's why we have maids. There's $100 million on this stiff ass maid. Washing dishes.
Watch how I poke holes in your punk ass theory, right?
How much do you hate dishes?
Listen, all right, so this company comes out with it. Fuck, I'm finna make them such a fucking good point right now, and I don't believe in this shit. One, this company comes out, they come out with this humanoid robot. It helps elderly people, and it also helps those that are bedridden or, you know, suffering with some debilitating disease, right? It's able to cook, it's able to clean, it's able to lift them up, get them to the toilet, all of that type of stuff, right? You can't do that with a maid because you don't know their strength. Also, you don't know their availability. Also, if there's another worldwide pandemic, ain't nobody coming over your fucking house, Malcolm. They don't want to breathe your air, okay? So I see where it's beneficial. I just feel like this is going to be the death of the human race.
Fuck that robot, man.
Malcolm, you have to be, Michael, you have to be the voice of reason. Where do you fall? On which side of the line are you landing?
It's definitely, like, we haven't asked the question of should we, it's yes, I could see people with debilitating injuries with them benefiting their lives. But if it's taking something and making something easier in your life, what are you doing to fill that time? What are you going to do? If this robot's going to make dinner, what are you going to spend more time with your kids? Are you going to spend it searching reels? Are you going to be reading a book? What are you doing to improve yourself or your environment if that's improving your environment for you? So those are kind of the things that we should think about. With technology coming into our lives, it's only meant to advance it and make our lives easier and better to give us more time. But if we're not utilizing it, then we're wasting it. That's my soapbox,
Don't waste more time. I'm definitely gonna spend more time scrolling on my phone if you make things easier and give me more time. I'm also looking for a better upgrade for my humanoid robot, so it's beneficial. You know, I'm telling the kids, oh, I'm gonna save this reel, we got to do this little dance, and I never go in that folder so we can do that little dance. But I thought about it, so it is bringing me closer to my family.
This is sad.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
Michael with a really grounded answer, really sound input.
That's a lot of work before I started doing this. I'm really nervous. No.
All right, man. Well, listen, before we get out of here, you guys got anything coming up that you want to let the people know? Also, this is the time for you guys to give them your socials so they can follow you and they can hop aboard the journey of your career and all of these new opportunities. So, Michael, why don't you go ahead and kick it off first, and we'll not talk while you're talking because it seems to be your mic cuts out when we talk.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's good.
No worries. I really don't have anything going on. Speaking with death and dying, like my mother actually just died a couple months back. Like I kind of stepped back for a hot minute, and I'm just trying to build up that career again. But everybody can kind of follow. I know, sorry to bring down the room, but you could follow me at Morgue Candy. I'm on Instagram and Michael Vitovich, Vitovich at IMDb. I'm the guy that you love to hate in most things, but not a bad guy. So hopefully you guys follow me and think of me for other opportunities. So, but I appreciate, you know, the opportunity to be on the show, guys. I really do. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, man. Way to close with a downer, bro. No. I'm so sorry to hear about your mother, man. I know that we all go through different things when it comes to healing, and it's not something that happens overnight or that you ever deal with it. You just learn how to get better at dealing with it, man. So my deepest sympathies and condolences to you and your family, man. I'm glad to see that you are still out here. You are still with us. You are still out here using your talents and using your knowledge for the job base as well, man. And he's not going to give y'all any of his socials because I forgot he worked for the Fed. So y'all can't just be all on his page acting stupid and shit. Okay. Don't get this man messed up and fired. All right. Malcolm, what about you?
Hey, you know me.
And that's enough time for us today, guys. Thank you so much.
As always, you can find me at fucktohear.com. Page is always set up, always ready. As always, I don't care if you follow me or not, but I think I'm at Malcolm Barrett and maybe at Verbal Be Rapping somewhere.
Verbal Be Rapping.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm on Average Joe on Netflix. Preacher's also on Netflix now. I'm in the second and third season of that, I think. So watch those shows.
Yeah, Preacher, as soon as you open up Netflix, too. I got to see with the chick in the car with the cop right there. Hey, look who's working.
Well, that was like 4 years ago.
Ladies, but, he's single. Time to get preggy.
I don't know. This isn't the best use.
You gotta be able to tell your kid the good joke. That one good joke. It was like, all right, Dad, now that you can understand it, you can go. You can. Well, thank our special guests, Michael and Malcolm, for coming on. Make sure you check out Average Joe right now. It's available on BET Plus, also on Netflix. Also, Malcolm is on Preacher. You can check that out as well on Netflix. If you have any questions or you're interested about being a autopsy mortician or a technician, you can possibly hit up Morgue Candy. Maybe slide your questions to Michael. He can try to answer to the best of his ability if he's not on scene with the FBI and the CSI and the CIA. Ladies and gentlemen, thank y'all so much for watching. As always, I'm to hear more, and we'll see you next week on another episode of Damn Internet, You Scary. Peace, guys.